Hallelujah. You can be seated if you like. To be like Jesus, our example, we should follow in His step. Hallelujah. Who did no evil, neither was guile found in His mouth. When he reviled not again. Hallelujah. But he just committed himself unto God. Jesus, the chief shepherd. Now, I'm a shepherd. I was called to be a shepherd.
Hallelujah.
And I'm a shepherd. But the Bible said, when he, the chief shepherd, shall appear.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Like a song that I wrote a long time ago. Thank you, Tim. Who is the shepherd that owns all the sheep?
Hallelujah.
I want us to be merciful to our youth. I want to say again that I really appreciate our youth. I have to be strict and I have to hold the line. Folks, if I didn't, we'd have a honky-tonk and everything else out here. And I have to do that. And I don't do these things that hurt you, but help you. Now, they hurt the flesh, but they'll help you in your spirit. And I appreciate our youth. And I want you to think on this tonight as we begin to talk with you just a little bit. Don't forget that God will be merciful to the youth. He will be merciful to the youth. A lot of times we wonder, we look at the youth and we think, well, won't they ever learn any sense, we say. I'm guilty of those things, I say that. But the thing is, when I consider that I'm 40 years old, I think the Lord has been merciful to me, and He's given me a lot of time. So then when we judge a youth by ourselves, then we're in trouble, not the youth. Because maybe they're only 15 years old, 17 or 18, whatever it might be. Maybe we're 30 or 40 years old. See, and they got a lot of years yet if God gives them the same amount of time He give us. They got plenty of mercy coming yet. But our mercy not so, you know, extended because we get near the end of the trail. We know right from wrong.
Amen.
So then you say, well, Brother Pike, you believe that God will let the youth by? He certainly will not. To whom much is given, much is required. You know a lot, youth, in the day that we're living in. So let's think these things over and be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and bold as a lion. Amen. You can do that if you'll really try. I want to read some from Proverbs, and I'm just going to exhort you a little bit tonight. I preached to you quite a bit before Brother Taylor got up here. So I want to exhort you a little bit tonight. And try to be patient and give the Lord a little bit of time. The Bible said, be not in haste to go from the house of the Lord. Well, that's why some people never prosper. The Bible said, he that covereth his sins, he won't never prosper. But he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins shall prosper. I appreciate what Floyd did tonight, saying what he did. He made a confession without reservation of heart or self-defense in it. And no doubt he was a little grieved. I'm sure others was. The Bible teaches it's grievous for the moment. But the thing is, he made his confession. Now, if the Lord will forsake those things, he will prosper. But some of you others, I happen to know, is guilty. I might not have known the depths of what Floyd had done if he had not confessed it. Because the way things get to me a lot of times, I don't know it individually speaking, unless God reveals it to me. But I do say one thing, that others was involved in things because God allowed me to know it. You didn't confess, nor you didn't say anything. And you will not prosper. Because when you talk at your table, talk to your wife and talk to your friends, and then that thing is unconfessed and not forsaken, you're going to be the one that's from hand to mouth all the time. This is true. This is very true. You'll be from hand to mouth all the time. Nobody won't have to wonder what kind of condition you're in spiritually. I'm not supposing that worldly gain is godliness. The Bible said, from such turn away. But I'm saying the Bible said that they, whatsoever that man doeth, shall prosper. And that man shall be blessed in his deeds. It don't make no difference if he's a painter, if he's a bricklayer, or whatever he is. Somebody said, well, I'd rather be this than to be that because there's more money than this. No, my brother, the Bible said, whatever he does will prosper. It don't make no difference if he's a ditch digger. He'll prosper. God promised to do it. It ain't what you are. I know builders that don't get by. I know builders that do get by. I know painters that don't get by. I know painters that prosper and drive new cars. I know all kind of people where one will be down, another will be up. So it's not the job That's not what it is. You say, well, Brother Pike, you mean all those people are Christians? It's prosperous? No, some of them crook people. Some of them made just the right turn and pulled the right deal and got the right money. But that is the world making them rich. And at the end of the way, they will have heartaches and sorrow and loss of loved ones, and they will be in terror. But the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and out of no sorrow, and riches gotten by labor shall increase. But it will happen. I thought of Brother Junior McKellum, how that I spoke to Junior. And if Junior ever hears this tape, I certainly don't mean anything wrong by it. But I just want to relate something to you tonight. How that I told Junior, and Junior recalls it. I said, Junior, why don't you give everything to God and surrender to God? He said, Brother Pike, what you're saying is right. I know it's right. He said, but I want something for myself. This is what he told me. I said, all right. I said, God will give it to you, but you could have 100-fold. I said, God will give it to you. God did. But then he lost his son, Gene. One of the most precious things he had, he lost. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, all of those things that he wanted, he got. But he's not enthused over him anymore. I watched him drive his new car. He talked about Gene having drove the car before his death. We went fishing. I sat on the boat. And he saw the thrill of Buddy catching fish. But all he could think about was what Gene would be like out there. He took Gene's picture and looked at it till he just dropped his head like he would just pass right through the floor. He was so sorrowful. No inspiration in anything that he does anymore. He got what he wanted, but he lost the thing that was closest to his heart. Folks, you don't want that, do you? You don't want that. All that he got, he would gladly give just to get that one thing. One thing. He's lost two children so far. Brother Ernie Correll has lost two children so far by not going on with God. You say, Brother Pike, how do you know that's the reason? Because I saw it in a vision. I saw it in a vision. I saw him backing over one of his children, and I was screaming at him not to do it. But I saw him, and he had pretty things was in his eyes, pretty clothes and these kind of things. And shortly after that, his baby died. Now, I see sorrow, folks. You say, Brother Pike, you believe God did that? I certainly do not. Satan did that. The Bible said, don't give place to the devil. He does that. He'll do yours that way. He'll do mine that way. He no respect to person. Anybody that he can get to, he'll do it. But the thing is, I'm going to pray for mine. The devil might get them, but I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for them. Brother, sister, I've been praying for my children for many years, day and night, for many long years. I prayed for Brother Frank Brother ever since he's come into the family. I've not ceased to pray for him. I've prayed for my Dale so many, many, many multiplied times. For George Jr., and I prayed for Ralph, and I prayed for Cindy, and I prayed for Lynn, no longer than she's been in the family and since she's been out here. And I prayed for you many multiplied times. I prayed for you and prayed for your children. Amen. I'm going to continue to. Samuel said, God forbid that I sin against God by not praying for the people. I'm going to pray for you, and I trust you pray for me. Satan is after our loved ones. But I'm just trying to tell you that you can get the things of the world, but you'll be so sorry. I see mothers a lot of times, they'll keep their house nice and drive the children out in the yard when the house was for the purpose of raising the little children. Without the little children, you don't need a house. Because they get a mark on the wall or get a dent in something. And I don't believe you ought to stand around and let youngins beat things to pieces. But because of that, the mother wants a pretty house. The little kids have to get out in the yard. That's right. Make out and wander up and down the streets and the roads. Some of them getting killed. Why? Because mama is all in perversion and don't know where she's going. I'm telling you the truth, folks. I'm telling you the truth. Did you know that people are beginning to realize this? They're even trying to get the old antique furniture back. And they'll take a hatchet and chop on it and dent it up and to make it look like where children was raised up and things that come up. But see, they can't go back to that. They can't go back to it. So then, mothers, you can do what you want to, but you're going to be sorry. I believe this with all my heart. When you stand before God, you mothers that expect daddy to look after the children, you're going to be in trouble. You mothers, when you stand before God, you're going to be crowned with a blessing if you've been a good mother to your children and a good wife to your husband. But I don't care how good you think you've been as a Christian, if you've not honored and reverenced and obeyed that husband and been a real mother to watch every minute after those little children, God is going to frown on you in the day of judgment. You say, I don't believe it. Watch and see if it comes to pass. That's the best way to find out. The song said, Al, just a little while. Just a little while. Amen. All right, there's so many things I'd like to say to you, but I can't say them all tonight. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs, and I want to read a good little bit. I think just to get the scriptures over to you tonight and comment a little here and there would be the best thing I could do. In chapter 3, my son, forget not my law, that's the first verse, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. How many of you heard what I said then? My son, forget not my laws, or my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. God tells us to be merciful. He tells us to be truthful. Is that right? Be merciful. Be truthful. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding. I like to have good understanding, don't you? Good understanding. Good understanding comes from God. Hallelujah. So shalt thou find good understanding. Some people don't have good understanding. They lose all that God gives them by not being diligent, by not being fervent, by not having wisdom, and by not doing, having perseverance. Some people don't have any perseverance to endure anything. I don't care what you put them on. It won't be but a little while, and they'll be doing something else, or they'll be done got weary or something. No perseverance. And the Bible tells us we've got to have perseverance to have the nature of Jesus. I think about Sam back there. I was just thinking how long it took him to come in. It took him a long time to come in. But some of them kept holding him up in prayer. Some of them kept trying. That's right. A lot of people have tried to turn Sam against me. I kept praying for him. I appreciate him coming playing in our services. He still comes right on. Amen. All right. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Folks, when we say things and do things and we go our way, Bob, this is leaning to our own understanding. The Bible said, come and let us reason together. Come and let us. Don't reason things out in your mind. You ladies get into trouble because you reason things in your mind. You men get into trouble because you reason things in your mind. Don't reason things out in your mind. God said that's leaning to your own understanding. Don't do that. Don't counsel with yourself. That's not the right way. That's not the way. But he said, come and let us reason together. You say, now how can I do that, Brother Pike? With the Bible. This is God right here. God is the Word. Come and reason with the Word and let the Word have the preeminence. Reason with God's Word. And reason with God's minister. Reason with God's people, them that are telling you the Bible. Reason with them. And if they tell you something or if the Word says it, do that thing. If you don't do it, sooner or later you're going to lose confidence in your own self. The devil will get you so that you won't even believe that you can have any perseverance and do anything. You'll just keep on keeping on so many years until that you'll keep telling yourself, well, I could do it if I want to. But when you sit down and really analyze that thing, you'll say, I'm not too sure that I can do it. Because all these years I wanted to do right and I haven't done it. There must be something bigger than I am that's causing me to do this. Amen. Like people sit back on the bench a lot of times when altar calls given. You say, folks, come to God. The judgment's coming. How they don't come to God? They say, well, I can go whenever I take a notion. But the truth is, year after year they do that. Why don't they come? You say they don't want to come. Yes, they do want to come. Nobody wants to die and go to hell. They want to come, but there's something that's out-reasoning them. There's something that's keeping them back. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if we trust in the Lord, and we don't lean to our understanding, then God will help us. God will help us. He says here, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. There's your own understanding again. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you've got the answer. Don't think you know it. I've done been along that trail and it don't work. I've tried those things. It don't work. You don't have the answer. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how wise you are. I don't care whether you've had dreams or had visions or somebody's prophesied to you. I don't care where you got it. Unless it's God's word, it's not right, my brother and sister. Don't lean to your own understanding. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't think that you got the answer. Don't think that you're smart. Don't think that you've got the background for the answer to whatever's coming forth. That's foolish. Whether you've been to college or whether you've been to school, whether you've been brought up in religion, whether you're a Bible scholar, whatever you are, don't do that. Make sure you got the Bible answer. And then make sure you're not holding the truth in unrighteousness. Make sure you got the anointing of the Spirit to produce it according to the trend that is supposed to come forth in. If you don't, you're in trouble. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Get away from evil. Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now he said, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Honor the Lord with it. Your barns shall be filled with plenty, he said. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. How many times does the Lord chasten here through the messages? You say, Brother Pike, but that's not God speaking. But the Bible said it not be you that speak, but your heavenly Father speaking from within his temple. Judgment beginning at the house of the Lord. Then he loves, he chastens. How many times do you get grieved when I do that? Which is all right. But the Bible says despise not chastening. A lot of times I bring forth a chastening by the word of God and I am literally despised in your eyes. I am literally despised in your eyes when I bring forth chastening because it doesn't agree with your reasoning. It doesn't agree with your understanding. It doesn't agree with your intellectual ability because you see it another way. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Neither be weary of his correction. How many times are you weary when I correct you? How many times do you get weary? I see you get up and go out from under the tent because you know that I'm talking to you and you know down in your heart that God is trying to correct you. You know that. And before you will let your spirit come out to God and be chastened and be corrected, you'll get up and go out of the tent before you'll surrender your stubborn, rebellious attitude. Is that right? Amen. Now then, what is this? Be not weary of his correction. I'm trying to correct you. I'm trying to tell you the right way. You say, Brother Pike, I'm a Christian. My brother and sister, you'll never convince me that you're a Christian. You'll never convince God that you're Christian when you get weary of correction, when you lean to your own understanding, and when you despise chastening. Do you believe that God is going to let you by with that? Listen to me, you elders, especially you elders. Now you say, Brother Pike, who are you talking to? I want to go back, everybody from about 20 years on up. Why don't you listen at me? You're old enough to know better. You are going to mumble and grumble and perish in your sins while God takes these little bitty children and indoctrinates them with the Word of God and brings them up in the nutra and the admonition of the Lord, and you die and go to hell. You're going to do it. A lot of times when I say elders, everybody thinks I'm talking about people 50 and 70 years old. I'm speaking from about 20 years old up. Some of you are about 20 years old up. You're some of the stubbornest people. Why are you like that?
Stephen's tried to preach to some of them. And he said, you're stiff-necked. Stiff-necked people, he said. He said, the reason is because you are uncircumcised in your heart. He says, you err. You are in spiritual error, my brother and sister. Why? He said, by resisting the Holy Ghost. By resisting the Word. Resisting the Holy Ghost. Resisting His correction. Being weary of His chastening. Despising the correction of the Lord. You don't expect God to take you to heaven in that kind of condition. You grieve me a lot of times. It's not pleasure to me to chasten you or to correct you. Paul said, shall I come with a rod? Somebody said, I don't think you got no business chastening us. My brother, I'm called for the purpose of chastening you. That's my job to do it. And not only that, but the Bible said the minister beareth not the sword in vain. He is set for vengeance upon them that do evil. Will you not be afraid for conscience sake, seeing that he is a minister of God sent to execute judgment upon them that do evil? That's what police is for. That's what judges are for. And they're only a type of the police of God. That's all that's a type of, is the police of God. That's all that God put them in the world for, is an antitype. That when a man goes so long with God, he's no longer a policeman. He's no longer a sheriff. But he becomes a judge. Amen. And it's not like talking to somebody that's on the police force. I go out here, if I don't like what a policeman says, I might, as the world says, jaw back at him a little bit. Now he may crack me overhead with a billy, he may not. I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever make the mistake of talking back to the judge. Because I made that mistake and wound up in jail. Amen. I talked back to the policeman, all right, Brother Gerald. But when I got in the courtroom and I talked back to the judge, he stuck me in what they call the calaboose. Don't make that mistake. A lot of times a man might just be a preacher. He might just be a patrolman. But if God has ordained that that man be a judge, you say, God ain't got none. The Bible said Samuel judged Israel. Don't you ever think God hasn't got judges. He said, why is it that you go to court out here in the courtrooms? Why, you being just people, why is it you take your causes before the ungodly? He said, don't you count yourselves worthy to judge the least matters, which is worldly matters, seeing that the angels are going to be judged by you, and that the saints shall judge the angels and the world to come. And judgment begins at the house of God. If there's no judges, who's doing all the judging at the house of God? Somebody said, Jesus. Jesus said, think not that I've come to judge you. The words that I speak, the same shall judge you. You say, well, you've got no right to judge. The Bible tells me to judge righteously. Is that Bible? To use righteous judgment. And did James, or one of the writers, make the statement that if we be partial in our judgment, then if we become partial as judges, there must be some judges somewhere, folks. Now, a policeman might mess around with you. But when the judge, when God begins to speak through the minister, that's the great white throne of judgment. Amen. That's God's judge. Amen. That's God himself coming forth. Amen. As the word to judge you. Jesus said, God the word shall judge you in the last day. Amen. Not you that speak, but God the word speaking. You watch what I'm telling you. There's a young man here that's going to get in trouble with God. I've warned him, and he's intellectual, and he will not adhere to me. He will not submit his spirit. He won't do it. He's determined that he's not going to do it, that he's going to get by. But not one other person got by, my brother, and you're not going to get by either. I'm telling you in the name of the Lord, God is getting weary with you because I know I'm getting grieved in my heart. And every time it's happened, something has happened to the individuals that did it. You've got a spirit about you that you need to get rid of. Get rid of the thing. It's a devil. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to lead you. I'm not trying to hurt you. Don't feel that you're so important that God won't deal with you. That you're such a precious person in the sight of God that God won't deal with you. That God's going to use a respected person and overlook your sins. I've had hundreds and thousands that did that. And every one of them got in trouble. Every one of them got in trouble. I can't ever remember a case, and I remember hundreds of them, running to the thousands of them. And every one of them got in trouble. You'll not escape. The Bible teaches you'll not escape. Not only do I say this, but there's been some other brethren that come to me about you and said that they picked up the wrong spirit about you because you won't do right. And they said that God has showed them that something's going to happen if you don't do right. And this is true. This is true. Now, a lot of times a policeman thinks he can do anything and get by with it, but they get put off the force. Did you know it's supposed to be a rule that if you've got one mark against you that you can't be a policeman? It's supposed to be a rule with the law that just one mark against you and you can't be a policeman. And you tell me God's called you to the ministry and you're getting mark after mark against you because of violation of God's ministry and God's word. My brother, you're fooling yourself. You're kidding yourself. Amen. Brother Al, we don't study the law to go contrary to the law. Somebody say, well, look at God when he got Paul. Paul had persecuted the Christians. But Paul said, "Is concerning the law, I am blameless." Is that right? Brother, you didn't go into the priesthood that day. And yet you say, but this is the days of mercy. But that ain't changed God's plan. God said a church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish, my brother and my sister. If you've got one wrinkle, if you've got one blemish, if you've got one spot, then you can't go. You say, but Brother Pike, this is the days of mercy. This is the days of grace. This is when God's forgiving our sins. You're mixed up. I said you're mixed up. Listen, Jesus died at Calvary to take away your sins, your unwilling sins, not your willful sin. Hebrews 6 says there is no atonement for a willful sin. There was no Jesus that ever died for a willful sin. There was no Lamb of Calvary that ever hung for a willful sin. Never has there been one, and there never will be one. And the Bible said if you ever come to the knowledge of the truth, and my brother and my sister, you can't sit under this ministry without coming to the knowledge of the truth. If you ever come to the knowledge of the truth, and then if you willfully sin, he said there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. That is none sacrifice for that kind of sin. The Old Testament, when a man sinned, unwillingly, he brought forth the doves. He brought forth the doves as a symbol of being harmless. He didn't mean to. But my brother, when you willfully sit on the benches and vote in the house of God and resist the ordinance of the Lord, when God commanded you not to resist, lest you resist unto damnation. He commanded you to submit your spirits one to another. He commanded you to do it. He commanded you to enter into his house with a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of praise, to reverence his sanctuary. The Bible said if you want to prosper, believe his ministry or his prophets, and ye shall prosper. When we try to tell you the truth and try to help you, sometimes through a surface, folks, it takes half of that service to ever get the devil off of you. And then you go out, and when you come back in, you're in the same fix you was in to start with. You go back and you get the same devil back on you again. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying to help you see the truth. I'm trying to break you loose from evil spirits. You say, Brother Pike, how can I do that? You've got to die, my brother. You've got to die, my sister. You've got to get rid of you and let Christ live. And some of you won't do it. Some of you are too fleshly to do it. You don't pray. You don't fast. You don't study the Bible. You don't try to live according to godliness. You don't swear to your own hurt. When people come against you, all of your conversation, all of your testimony is in your self-defense and for your own fleshly desire, and all of your labor is for your belly, because the Bible said it craves it of you. The Bible said if a man witness of himself, his witness, his testimony is not true. I talk to some of you, and that's all you ever witness of is yourself. You tell me what God's done for you. What God's going to do for you. But when I check it out, God's left out of it. Amen. God's left out of it. And I find it's a self-will thing. When you really narrow it down, it's what you feel like you've done for you. And you feel like what you're going to do for you. That's no good. That's going to come to naught. You're going to suffer in the end. I'm not going to worry with you, folks. When you get like that, I'm not going to worry with you. I'll try my best to help you. I'll try my best to love you. I'll share with you. I'll do anything I can. But when I know that you know the truth, and you're old enough to do right, and you willfully rebel against the utterance of God, I'm not going to mess with you. God is not mocked, my brother. God is not mocked. That a man soweth, he also shall reap. God is not mocked, my sister. What thou sowest, thou shalt surely reap. There is a God. There is a great and a mighty God. He knows your murmurings. He knows your lying. He knows your thieving and your robbing. Somebody said, I'm not a thief. The Bible said, Satan is a thief. When you give place to the devil, you are numbered as a thief. You are numbered as a robber. And the Bible said, all of the blood that was shed back yonder from the time of righteous Abel until this day shall come it down upon you. A fool would know better than that. A man that was a fool wouldn't do that. The Bible said you walk carelessly where angels fear to tread. The angels of God fear to tread in those places. The Bible stated that though Gabriel, Michael, those great angels as powerful in authority and might, they did not bring one railing accusation against the devil himself. Not because he wasn't deserving of it, but because a tongue is a little member that's set on fire by the powers of hell. And it defiles the whole body, and they didn't want to defile themselves. Don't you know you're not fooling me? You're not fooling God. Jesus said, I know my sheep because they hear my voice, and the stranger they won't follow. When the man stood before David, said to David, thou art the man, said a stranger came by. Speaking of an evil spirit, some of you have let strangers come by. Instead of the word of God, which is the voice of God, instead of heeding it, which is the ministry, you let a stranger come by. And you heeded the voice. Don't you know your spirit is not covered? Don't you know that your sins unconfessed, that you're not going to prosper, neither in God nor in this world? You'll never do it. Some of you have gossiped so much. My hand be raised to God. I'm telling the truth and I lie not. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I don't see how God has let you live. You have talked so much to the back of the ministry and said things and carried tales and done things and lived so shattered until I don't see how God has let you live. I've often said, God, I don't see how you put up with me, God. And I'm trying to please God. I certainly don't see how he puts up with people that don't even try to please him. You say, are you judging us by you? I'm judging you by the word. Amen. You say you don't have any right to measure us by you. Let me tell you something. The writer John, the others, said, hereby we know that they're in error because we are children of light. You want to know what the scripture says? How can I tell you wrong? Because if I'm right, then I know you're wrong. That's what John said. Somebody said you don't know you're right. Bless your heart, the Bible said we know that we pass from death unto life. This thing not a guess so, maybe a hope so. You might be maybe, and you might be hoping, you might be guessing. But that's not the way it is. When Paul went to lay down his life, Brother Gonzalez, he said, from henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me. He said, whom the just judge shall give me in that day. For I finished my course. I kept the faith, he said. I fought a good fight. From henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me. You would love to see me stumble. You would love to see me fall. David said, my enemies watch for my fall. They whet their tongue like arrows to shoot at me. They crouch down in secret, waiting for opportunity. But he said, my God prepares the table before me in the presence of those enemies, that he might feed me good, that he might bless me good, that their eyes might behold the progress of the Lord in my life. He prepares the table. He anoints my head with oil. My cup is so full I have to share with others. It runs over. Amen. Praise God. For the Lord is my shepherd. There's so much more I want to read here tonight. But the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. Leadeth me beside the still waters. When I'm perplexed and when I'm bewildered, he restoreth my soul. And David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid of evil. He said, because there's a rod, there's a staff that comforts me. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. Hallelujah! Goodness and mercy, he said, follows me. I don't have but one request. He said, let me dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Glory to God. Folks, wake up. Wake up! Stop wanting to see my fall. If you can't stand me, leave me. Don't send your soul to hell wanting to see a minister fall. Go somewhere where you can be happy. Amen. You say, where is that? With them that loves darkness rather than light. That's the only place to go. I tell you the truth. You say, but every time I come, I get reproved. You ought to quit coming in the wrong spirit. Day and night you live in the wrong spirit. You walk in the wrong spirit. The Bible said, walk in the spirit. Don't live in the flesh. The lust of the flesh. Amen. But walk in the spirit. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Some people ain't got enough endurance to sit in the house of God through one message. Not one message can they sit through. They use everything from the baby for an excuse to I don't know what. Amen. What's the matter? Praise God. I love you, but I want to leave this thought with you tonight. There's a little thing that goes on down in here. I can't explain what it is. It's like a radar. But it gets real grieved, and it don't work right when a lot of people come in and out. Amen, with the wrong spirit. And I don't care how nice they talk. I don't care how sweet they are. I don't care if it's like butter. There's something that don't register right. And every time, it's been right. I'm going to tell this in close. I never will forget. I've had a lot of disputes over this. But it's always been right. I never will forget the dispute I had with my wife and children. I went down to a church. And when the man got up to preach, he was such a fine, wonderful person. He preached hard. He really had the drive. But I said, it ain't right. There's something wrong, Betty. I said, God shows there's something wrong. And I don't want to go down there. They got all over me. They said, oh, it's just you. It's just you. It's just you. I said, for your sake, I'm going. I went. When we got down there, we walked into the room. And here the man had the television. Drinking it in. And the rest of them drinking it in with him. Folks, when God shows something, it's right. It don't matter what nobody says. The Bible said not to know any man after the flesh. When a man talks sweet to you, or if he talks hard to you, it don't matter how he talks to you, if he looks at you with a giggle or with smiling eyes or whatever it is. Check that man's spirit. And know him after his spirit. Because that's the way God's going to judge you. And there's some people here, their spirits ain't right. They ain't right. And the wrath of God's going to come on you just like I'm telling you. You have literally sat in the audience and mocked me. I know you didn't do it with your appearance. You tried to cover it up with that. But your spirits have literally mocked the thing that I've said. But all I can say is I warned you. The blood's off of my hand when something happens to you. Because I warned you. Brother Junior McKellen, the blood's off of my hand. I warned him day and night. I talked to him. Brother Taylor knows for a fact he mocked some of the things. He did it. Others have done the same thing. But sorrow came. Sorrow came. It found them out. Be sure your sins will find you out. Amen. I want you to stand with me. I want you to know, my brother and my sister, no matter how sweet you talk to me, no matter how pleasant you are to me, no matter whether you giggle or frown or whether you raise your voice or whether you speak gentle, that don't have a thing to do with it. I'm not judging you after that manner. I'm judging you according to your spirit. Righteous judgment. Amen. When you measure up to God's word, then you're right. When you don't measure up to God's word, my brother and sister, you're not right. I don't care what you say, you're not right. And I've never been wrong on it in my life when I laid it on this. Never. And you know what? I'm never going to be wrong about it as long as I lay it on this. Never.
Hallelujah.
You better walk right. You better walk right. Glory to God, I'm glad I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm glad this is a sure foundation, Jim. Man, if I was one of them preachers that didn't know where I was going, didn't know what I was doing, and didn't know what I could stand on, and didn't know whether I believed it or didn't believe it, or didn't know whether it was going to happen or not happen, or didn't know whether to say it or not to say it, I'd go crazy. But glory to God, there's a sure way. Hallelujah! There's a sure foundation. And other men can't lay another one. You better take heed how you build on this one. Because the day is going to try your works. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask God again tonight to be merciful to you and to bear with you. But brother, sister, one day God is going to get tired and weary of this. One day. I'm going to say this while your heads are bowed, and then I'm going to pray a closing prayer for all of you and let you go home. There was a man that had a vineyard. But there was a tree that wouldn't produce. You know what producing is? Love, joy, peace. Now, I don't mean make-believe, folks. I don't mean a fleshly thing that you've conformed to by practice. But the true love of God, joy, peace, righteousness, surrender, self-heart. He said, he that sweareth to his own hurt, that one it can swallow down and never change but be that way every time you look him in the face. So this man kept coming by and this tree wouldn't bear any fruit. He just couldn't get it to bear. And one day he came by and there wasn't any fruit on it. And he went over to the man and he said, sir, why isn't this tree bearing? He said, well, he made an excuse for it. He said, leave it alone and let it grow for just a little bit. I'll dung around it. I'll work around it. And then, if it don't bear fruit, then I'll cut it down. The man did that, but it didn't bear fruit. And the master said, why cumbereth it the ground? Cut it down. The Bible said, great is the fall of that tree. Great is the fall of it. My brother and sister, God has worked around some of you a long time. A long time. A long time. But you still haven't brought forth any fruit unto perfection. You're still doing the same things. Still laying the foundation of repentance. Still having to go back over and over and say, I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to do it. Not going on with God to perfection. But the Lord of the vineyard is about to come around. And he's going to cut some trees down. And I don't want to see you cut down. Many times I've said, Lord, let me work around it a little longer. That's right. Let me work around it a little longer and see if I can get some fruit out of it. Just a little bit of fruit out of it. But one day he's going to come by and he's going to say the axe is laid under the root of the tree. Folks, think over the things I'm telling you. I'm just an old nothing and a nobody. Less than nothing. That God sent your way to tell you about Jesus. And to tell you that the judgment is coming to your door if you reject grace. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. I wonder if we've got our heads bowed. I wonder if there's anybody that would like to surrender their heart to God. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to look into your heart, look into your mind, and ask him to help you. Will you call upon the name of the Lord while I'm praying? Will you accept God? Will you come to the house of the Lord and reverence God? Will you reverence the sanctuary? Come with a heart of thanksgiving and a heart of prayer. Don't come in playing and going in and out, popping bubble gum, doing those kind of things. Don't do that. Father, Lord of heaven, as I pray tonight, dear God, I'm thankful for the opportunity and for the privilege, dear God, of trying to instruct thy people. Though many times, Jesus, I'm very grieved, I pray that it not be laid to the charge of them that grieve me, but that with all tenderness and kindness and understanding of humanity's weaknesses, that you will forgive them, for surely they don't know what they're doing. Father, if they knew what they were doing, Lord Jesus, they wouldn't do it for all the gold and silver in the world. If their eyes were open one time, dear God, I beg you to forgive them. Help them, Lord. Awaken them. That their eyes might see, their ears might hear. Oh, God, to know what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Oh, God, in this hour of crisis, I ask you to do it. In the lovely name of Jesus. Hallelujah.